We need to stop wandering. Amen? When's the next COVID plague coming? Who's going to be the president of the United States? Whoever it is, he's not going to meet the bill. No matter who we admire, if he had a glorified body, only Jesus can meet the bill. Because in Psalm 2, it's ordained there's only one king that's going to set up Mount Zion. His name is not Trump. His name is not Putin. And he's not the missile man who must have played with missiles as a boy. It's not going to be any of these despots that are going to end this thing. But it's the Lord that's going to fold up this thing at his timing. I'm not worrying about the bomb. I'm not worrying about these heathens that are rattling the sword. Even Christians are buying into it. Even they're shaking in their boots. At any time now, Putin can push the button. But the Bible says there's a fire that's going to come from heaven that's going to take care of everything. It's not going to be man that's going to be. You know how many men have tried to take over the world and have not been able to do it? There's only one who's going to take it over. His name is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to look on Jesus not only as the author, the one who saved me gloriously, but we also need to begin to believe in one who can finish what he started in me. How many are believing for a finish? Or I've been told, amen. And I remember when I went to teach in Bible school, and it seemed like it took me years in my life to get anywhere. And this one brother, he was a guest prophet who knew me since I was a boy. He came and he told the students, he said, "You'll find out about Brother Gagliardi." He said, "You know the story of the turtle and the hare? Well, he's the turtle. It takes him a while to get where he's going." And over the years, the Lord has made me known that as I've allowed a stroke to come into my life to make me slow up. But I'll tell you right now, God is in no hurry, but he'll get you to where you need to be. He's going to take you to where he wants you to be. Amen. And I believe in a God. And so it says, fully consider him who endured such contradiction. Now, it doesn't mean we stay glued to what was done at the cross, but that we might fully observe him is what it means in the Greek. To fully observe means to be willing to be educated. These stargazers who know what star is which have studied it. They've studied how to observe. And God wants us to be educated in this hour. That's why he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." This is an hour when the Lord wants to re-educate us and move us beyond the way we've seen Jesus in the past. And isn't it interesting? Everybody only sees this Jesus when he cuddles us and strokes us and tells us we are his own. And how many believe in such a Jesus? I do. But no sooner the writer is done with these writings, he begins to go on and say, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Oh, my word. That's not the Jesus I want. I want the Jesus that I can tell what to do. Like our modern-day charismatic church. They like to make the calls. Amen. Hallelujah. I like with that brother's testimony today, I could not help but think of the brother who said how the Lord took care of himself with the how the Lord helped him when he's running out of gas. Well, I've had times where I run out of gas, and God has helped me. And I remember running out of gas in a car, had a black leather jacket on in the worst section of Reading, Pennsylvania, and I wasn't shaven. And I'm walking to a park to get somewhere, and a police officer stops me with a German Shepherd, wondering who in the world I am. And you know what the Lord told me? Stop riding on E. Come on. In our walk with God, we often ride on E, and we think we're going to get by. But Paul says, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Consider him. Consider him does not mean just, "Oh, I'd love the way you died on the cross for me, Jesus." And how many of sentiment can pass so fast. But Jesus, would you teach me the reason why you died? And the reason he died is that he didn't die just to save me, but that he might have all of me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I taught a series of messages in Africa. I don't know to what level it was understood. the difference between being redeemed and purchased. I could buy something and put it on my shelf at home and never use it. I could redeem it by buying it. But purchased means you become the Lord's possession. Now that thing does not become my possession until I use it. And God wants to use you and me. He didn't redeem us just to put us on the sideline. He redeemed us so he could merge us into the great purpose of God that God has for us. How many are glad for that? And you may feel like you're in the garbage dump, but that's where Jesus found you. And he brought you out of there. And if you're there now, he can take you out of there. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, he can bring you out of that. If he brought me out of that in the beginning, amen. From time to time, I get spoken to by doctors that I got a new physical condition. Meanwhile, I'm finding out from other doctors that I'm getting better on these other conditions, are stable. So if you get a new condition, what makes you think that Jesus is not going to do the same thing in the new condition that he's done with the old ones? How many believe that? Praise God. It's all about seeing him today, a side of him that you never saw before. And he chastens us. He doesn't chasten us as earthly parents who chastened us in anger. He chastens us to bring us somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. And I remember the first time I endured a chastening, I received a prophecy in a meeting that rebuked me. And I was just like, my God, I'll never be able to preach again. And I went to my room and I opened John 15, and he said, the Lord purges the branch so that it brings forth more fruit. He doesn't purge it, so he destroys it. How many are glad for a God who cares for us and knows exactly what we need? Amen? And so let's go over into the Gospel of John that I talked about. That's the first picture. Did everybody like the first picture? I'm not a very good drawer. Amen. But that's the first picture. We're going to look at two more. Amen. And John chapter 1 is John the Baptist's introduction to Jesus. How many know that John the Baptist knew Jesus? Well, sure he did. They were cousins. But he didn't really know him. See? You can know Jesus by the natural. Oh, he's the guy that died on the cross for me. Oh, I remember Jesus. He helped me back there. There's a lot of people in the world that will say, a voice saved me from this and that, but they never came to Jesus. John the Baptist knew him by the natural man, but he didn't know him by the Spirit. But how many know that it's by revelation that we see him, when you see him face to face? Praise the Lord. I remember many years ago, the Lord kind of encouraging me to have a ministry like John the Baptist, to be able to pass off the scene so Jesus can come on the scene. How many want a ministry like John the Baptist? He's not a successful pastor. He loses his congregation to Jesus, right? He's left with nobody. He ends up in prison. And yet, he saw Jesus face to face. We have a generation, amen, that maybe have not seen the spectacular things that have happened in other movements, but we are a generation that may yet see him. We may be the generation that he comes to us, that we visibly see him, for he will appear the second time for those that are looking for him. And I want to be looking for Jesus today. The interesting thing about Jesus is he shows up even when you're not looking. And John the Baptist is just doing his usual ministry. He's water baptizing. Little does he know who's coming to the water. Praise God. It's wonderful when we begin to follow Jesus and all of a sudden there's appearing of him. We've searched for him and we didn't know he was out there and he shows up. He says, I'm him. I am he that liveth and was dead. And John, there's no sight of Jesus when he's on the Isle of Patmos, but Jesus came. And so we see here, it's talking about, and there's much you can say on these various days. The Lord works with days. Gospel of John chapter 1, we're looking at the verse 29, it says, the next day. And in Jesus, there's always a next day. There's another revelation, another experience that must follow up. God's thankful for the salvation you received, the experiences that you went through to get to him. But there's always a next day. There's another revelation, something beyond where you've met. He wants to meet with you now. But we rely too much on the old and we get stale. I remember hearing the story about one particular sister. All she ever testified about was how God raised her from the dead. And she became very self-righteous after a while. And she began doing things like coming to a church meeting and beginning to take up her own offerings. And one time a pastor had to yank the microphone out of her hand and tell her to sit down. And her husband was a gifted Bible teacher. She was relying on an old experience and it made her prideful. But we need a fresh revelation of Jesus because it breaks you and it humbles you. If we rely on the past, we'll begin thinking who we are. That we've attained to something. We don't attain to nothing. We're saved by the grace of God. And if he appears to you in any other form, it will be because of his grace. Not because of our church attendance. Not because of our Bible study ability or how well we can pray. But it will be because of his sovereign grace that he appears to us. How many are glad for that? Praise God. And so we see this. And the next day, verse 29, and John sees Jesus, not in the natural. There's a difference between seeing the natural Jesus and the spiritual Jesus. Because in the natural Jesus, everybody has their own interpretation of him. But the spiritual Jesus, you'll see him as he is. And we see this right here. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom have said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And how many are glad for that water baptism? Every one of us should remember that. But there's a follow-up on that, and that's the coming of the Spirit of God. And I knew him not, but he that sent me baptized with water, the same said unto. So he's saying that even with the water baptism, he doesn't know him yet. Because it's not until the dove comes and the Spirit of God indicates to him, right? It's not shown to him by the flesh. It's not shown to him because of his ancestry. It's shown to him by the Spirit. How many need that today? We need something by the Spirit for the church today to take us on now. Or we'll continually be in a panic mode, waiting for the next COVID, waiting for the next despot who's going to destroy our country, waiting for all these lying politicians. We're looking for some Superman, and there is no Superman. I remember my mother when I was in second grade. I never missed the Superman episodes. And as far as I'm concerned, the greatest Superman was George Reeves, the TV one. And I remember my mother bringing me a newspaper clipping when I was in second grade. And it said that he shot himself in the head. But later on, it was proven that he was killed by the mob. And I said to Mom, he really wasn't Superman, was he, Mom? And she said, that's right. And Jesus is not Superman because he's God. He's God and man. Amen. Don't expect God to be your Superman. You know why people like Superman? Because they hope that every time they're in trouble, God will rescue them like Superman. Ever notice how he ever showed up? Saving people, he just always came at the right time. Sometimes Jesus leaves us in the soup. Have you ever been left in the soup? So that there comes a cry. There comes a cry. And God wants to produce a cry in you and me. Lord, I've had enough of this. I want to see you. I want to apprehend you, Lord, in a way that you would take me to something more. And that might be your answer to your fear. That might be the answer you've been longing for your family getting saved, for all the other things that you've longed for. A fresh seeing of him will make it, Lord, no matter what. I just talked to a man, a very gifted pastor, who's had a stroke. He's a gifted guitar player. Can't pass his driver's test. He preaches every Sunday by the grace of God, even though he's crippled in one hand. And he said to me, Brother Bert, he said, even if the Lord don't heal me, it don't matter. I'm just going to keep preaching. Praise God. God's looking for perseverance in this hour, that will persevere no matter what life has handed to us or what devil has tried to impose upon us, that God has left us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And so we see here in the Word of God, and I knew him not, and he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, unto whom shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which is baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear the record that this is the Son of God.